Today is Saturday, the 23rd of September 2023, and we are all gathered here for the 100th session on mindfulness for beginners in the English medium. And to our great fortune, we have Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero representing Nisaramane Forest Monastery during today's session, and we are seeking to gain valued insight from him. As usual, on behalf of all of you joining through Zoom and also those of you who are joining through the live stream over Facebook, I would like to welcome with great respect Venerable Bhante into today's session. Furthermore, I would like to welcome with much, I would like to cordial welcome all of you joining through Zoom and also through the live stream. Today's session is the 100th session, and we are passing a great milestone today. Our session will commence with the in-session practice, and then we will move on to the talk on mindfulness based on the topic continuing from last week, narcissism. And then we will move on to the question and answer session, where you can raise any verbal questions or make verbal statements about your own practices. So without further ado, I would like to invite Bhante with much respect to commence the in-session practice. Over to Bhante. Much merits.
Thanks, Namanta. Hello everyone. So today, as the initial part of our program, let's try and do a sitting session. For this, you have to make sure that you are seated comfortably. Once you are comfortable in your seat, you can gently close your eyes and try to be mindful. Try to pay attention to the present moment. When you pay attention to the present moment, you might notice various things happening. Now, what you experience is you. This is what we identify as ourselves. What we are going to do is that we are going to pay attention and mindfully observe what I am or what represents myself. Is it the thoughts that you call yourself? Is it the bodily sensations? Is it the sounds? You experience a variety of things coming and going. We are going to be mindful of this process. And try to experience what represent oneself. We call this self-discovery or discovering oneself. Okay, everyone, now you can open your eyes again. So that's the short time that we have for today's practice. Now, when we practice mindfulness, in a way, we are trying to discover ourselves. We try to pay attention to the present moment and see what is there. Notice what are the things that are happening. So this is the experiment that we are doing. This is the very practice that we are doing. So we can discuss further. With this, we can end today's practice session.
Much thanks to Bhante. And next, we have the talk on narcissism coming. And on behalf of all of us attending, I would like to invite again to come schedule for today's session. Over to Bhante again, much thanks.
Okay, we can take some time to discuss today's topic. I think it's a continuation from last week. So we can take some time to try and understand a little bit more about the current topic that we are discussing. Now, when we think about our lives, usually we have a center. Our own mind is the center of our lives. In a way, the center of this entire galaxy is our own, or one's own, torturous mind. That is the very center this entire galaxy is rotating. Right? So that's how we behave. That's how we function. Whatever we do, we need to have some kind of a game. The thoughts, actions, words that we express, all of them, we try to gain something. We try to achieve something. We try to seek pleasure. We try to get rid of pain. So that's how we function. In a way, our own mind, or one's own mind, is the center of this universe. And we think based on that center. When other people do things, we hate them because they are not according to our wishes. When other people talk to us, we don't like them if they are disrespectful because their words are not aligning with us. So in various ways, thousand and one ways, again and again, we are feeding our own ego. Again and again, this is the very center that entire universe is rotating. So that's how we function. That's how we work. Now, when it comes to today's topic, in a way, you can hear this word a lot. If you go on YouTube, you can find a lot of details about this word. They start to talk about narcissist in this world. They start to talk about narcissistic behaviors in this world. They start to talk about gaslighting in this world. So when it comes to relationships, when it comes to dealing with people, more and more information come about these behaviors. Narcissistic behaviors or narcissist, they call these people, and they behave according to those tendencies. So what's the idea? You are the very center of your own universe. You function based on your own interest. Right? So that is the very idea of these behaviors. Some people, they could have extremes, of course. But still, all of us, we function according to our own interest. All of us, we are the center of this universe. We don't care about other things. We don't care about other people as long as the things are according to my wishes. Right? So that's how we function. So it is natural that we do things that are not matching with the common goal. It is natural that we do things according to our own self-interest. So when you do things according to your own self-interest, when your actions, words, they don't align with the worldly view, it's natural that other people tell that you are a narcissist. Other people might call you, might have narcissistic behaviors. So these words come into being, right? But we have to understand, all of us, we are functioning according to our own wishes, according to our own interest. That's how we function. That's how we think. That's how we talk. That's how we do things. My interest, my family, my friends, that's how we do, right? So this word narcissist, it goes back. The starting point of this word, it goes to Greek mythology, right? In one of the stories, there is a person called Narcissist. He's a person who had a lot of ego. He didn't care about anybody else. And he functioned trying to achieve his own gain, his own pleasure. He didn't care about anybody else. He didn't function according to other people's wishes. He only wanted his own interest. And his name was Narcissist, right? So that's the history of this word. Now this person, he used to do things that hurt other people. He was trying to, you know, get his own way. He was trying to seek pleasure. And in this exercise or in this process, he hurt a lot of people, right? So that's the person that's behind this word. That's how the narcissistic behaviors come into being. That's how the word narcissist come into being, right? So when he was a young man, he was doing his own thing. He was enjoying the world. He was functioning. But a lot of people, they got hurt, especially girls who were interested in him. They got hurt. This boy or this young man, he was extremely beautiful. So a lot of girls, they were interested in him, but he didn't care. He didn't care. He gave false promises probably. And somehow, because of his actions, a lot of people got hurt. I think one or two of them committed suicide, right? So such incidents happen, right? So this boy, he didn't care about anything else. He didn't care about the incidents that happened. He was enjoying his own thing. He was enjoying the world, right? So that's the person who is behind this world. Now, even today's world, if somebody is only interested in his own gain, if somebody didn't care about other people, if somebody thinks that the entire universe rotates around oneself, we use this word. Now, this word is used, narcissistic behaviors, narcissistic tendencies, or a narcissist, right? So this young man, he was doing all right. He was, you know, functioning all right. And when he was born, there was this fortune teller. And there was this saying about him or a forecast about him. They mentioned that narcissist will have a long life until he sees himself. This young boy will have a long life until he sees himself, or until he get to know himself, right? That was the prediction that's made. Upon his birth, this prediction was made. So he was a young man and he was functioning well. One day, going into a forest, traveling here and there, he came to a very clear pond. A clear pond was there. It was like a mirror. He could see his own reflection. He came to this spot and he saw his own reflection. And he didn't understand this image was his own reflection. Instead, he thought this is somebody else in water. Right? So it's a beautiful person and he was really attracted to this image or the person in the pond, right? So he spent a lot of time there trying to get hold of that person, trying to get close to that person. Whenever he tried to get close, this person disappears in the water. Again, when the water settles, he can see this person smiling at him, right? So this way, he spent days and days without even eating anything. He stayed there without going anywhere else. He stayed there. So after trying for days and days, he died of starvation. He died of melancholy because he couldn't get this person. Right, so that's the story behind the word narcissist. Right, so even in today's world, we function according to our own wishes. We want to get our way. That's our own interest. We need to achieve certain goals. We need to have money. We need to get new brand new cars. Right, so that's how we function. All of us, we have our own self-interest, right? Maybe some people, they are extremely interested in themselves, but all of us, we have our own interest. Some people might be in extremes, but still, we can't say that we are not interested in our own self. We can't say that there is no ego within me, right? So this is how we function. Most of the time, we need to get our own way. We only care about our own interest. So in a way, we all have these narcissistic tendencies or behaviors. In a way, we all are narcissist, right? So now, the prediction that made about narcissist was that he will live a long life until he sees oneself. That was the prediction. Now, even for us, this prediction is true. Currently, we are functioning because of this gigantic ego. Currently, we are functioning because of our own self-interest. But if you really know yourself, if you come to see yourself, then you might realize that that self-interest vanishes little by little. That ego vanishes little by little. What is the reason? Because there is no substantial self. If you keep observing yourself, and then you start to see that there is nothing that you can call oneself. There's no substantial something that you can find as you, right? So that's the experiment. That's the very idea of this practice. When we are doing mindfulness practice, when we are practicing as mindful walking, sitting, and day-to-day activities, we try to discover oneself. We try to see oneself. We try to get to know oneself. Because this is the very center this entire universe is rotating. This is the very center of our entire being. So in a way, when we practice mindfulness, when we are mindful, we try to pay attention to oneself. We try to notice what is happening. That is the very process that we are doing. Let's say you walk in a comfortable manner and you have your eyes open. Again and again, while walking, you try to pay attention to the present moment. Notice what is happening. When you do it for a while, you might realize that you feel the touch of the ground, the pressure at your feet. You might feel. This way, you continue your observation. Again and again, you try to be present and notice what is happening. When you do this for a while, you realize you can feel the steps. Time to time, various thoughts come and go. Time to time, you can hear sounds. This is how we function. This is how we work, right? So in a way, again and again, we are paying attention to the present moment and trying to notice what is happening. So in a way, this practice is trying to discover oneself. What is you? That's what you are trying to discover. Can you identify something, an essence in you? Again and again, you try to identify what is the essence in me. Sometimes you feel like these thoughts, they are my essence. These thoughts represent me. That's how you feel sometimes. But again and again, when you continue your observation, you start to see that certain thoughts come and go, but they might be somebody else's thoughts. They don't align with my way of thinking. And certain voices come and go, and these voices seems to be somebody else's voices. So this way, although these thoughts represent you a little bit, again and again when you observe, you realize some of the thoughts, they don't seem to be representing yourself. Some of the voices, they are unknown to you. Some of the images, they are unknown to you. So this way, again and again, you try to find an essence in yourself. That is the very experiment that we are doing. While walking, we try to observe ourselves. We try to get to know ourselves. While sitting, we try to observe ourselves. We try to get to know ourselves. This way, we continue. Not just a day, not just a week. Again and again, we continue. Again and again, we practice. This is the very practice that we are doing to discover oneself. Not to discover the outside world. Not to discover outside people. But we try to discover oneself. We try to get to know oneself. What are my thoughts? Are they always matching the way I feel? What are my emotions? Are they always aligned according to my wishes? What do I feel in the present moment? This way you observe. Time to time you feel that thoughts are more like in your head. It's something that's in your head. It comes and goes. Or it's something that's in your mind. It comes and goes. But the emotions, they have a stronger presence. Maybe emotions, they appear even in your body. There's a bodily appearance of certain emotions. When you're angry, you can feel it in your body. When you're lustful, you can feel it in your body. So this way, although the thoughts are in your mind, the emotions seems to have a physical appearance, right? So again and again, you continue your observation. So when it comes to emotions, in a way, a thought is like a point on a graph. A thought represents a single point. But when you add so many points on a graph, you can find a trend that is happening. The graph might have a trend. It is moving this way. It is moving in this direction. So that trend seems to be your emotions. They have a connection. Thoughts and emotions, they have a connection. But it's like some of your thoughts, or some of the thoughts that you empowered recently, right? So that's how the emotions are. It is more like a trend on a graph. The trend is created by those data points. Those points are like thoughts, right? So thoughts come and go, but emotions, they tend to last longer. Emotions, they have a stronger presence, right? So although you change your thoughts, the emotions won't change suddenly. Emotions, they take time to change because it's the total sum of your thoughts. It's like average of your thoughts, right? So it takes time. But if you change your thoughts, if you change the way you think, little by little, emotions too will change accordingly, right? So these are observations that you can find while being mindful. The thoughts, they just come and go, but emotions, they have a stronger presence. Even they appear in your body. A physical presence is there when it comes to emotions. So this way, you continue your observation, paying attention to the present moment, again and again, observing oneself, trying to find essence in you, trying to find something substantial in you. That's the very observation. Now, if you practice for a few days, if you practice only for a few weeks, you might come and say, I found the essence in me. These thoughts, they represent me. These emotions, they represent me. This is what I feel as myself. So initially, that might be true. Within a few days of observation, that might be true. But when you continue for a longer period, you tend to see that the meditation is taking its own direction. Sometimes the meditation, it goes out of control. You thought that you had control in this process, but more and more you meditate, more you realize that it is out of control. Things are not happening according to my control, according to my wishes. Instead, most of the things, they are happening according to some kind of a nature. According to some nature, things are happening. Now, there is this foreigner who is meditating here these days. He was telling, now, when I was practicing mindful walking, I could feel my feet. But I could feel another layer of thoughts. So I am feeling the feet, plus I feel the thoughts in the background. I know that my attention should be here, but I feel both layers. The walking process is there, that's one layer. Then thinking process is there, that's another layer. So you start to see multiple layers happening in the same time. And sometimes he comes and says that I am talking with somebody. In meditation, I am talking with somebody. And while talking, I feel it is so real. But then suddenly I realized I am in meditation. Am I dreaming? No, I am awake. But still, I'm talking with this person. I doesn't know. I don't know this person. It's not a familiar face to me. But still, I'm talking with him. So such things, when you experience, you realize this is not happening according to your wishes. This process is more like some natural process that's happening. It has its own causes. You are not the cause of it. You don't have any control over it. So this is how more you meditate, you will observe this process is not happening according to your wishes. It's more like a natural process that's happening. Due to some causes, it will happen, but you are not the cause. Right? So this is a valid observation for a long-time meditator. If your meditation is right, you start to lose control over things. Even your own mind, you start to lose control. Your own so-called mind, you start to lose control. You don't have control over your thoughts. You don't have control over your emotions. Sometimes, one moment you are happy, full of joy. Next moment you are sad. Who are you? Or what are you? You can't figure it out. For no reason you feel happy. For no reason you feel sad. What is this process? So in a way, in your own mind, you feel one moment you are happy, next moment you are sad. You feel this bipolar nature within you, within your own mind. Right? So this way, when you continue your meditation, when you continue it for a long period, you start to see this process, I am not the cause. I don't have any control over this process. So in a way, you start to see the reality. In a way, you start to see what true mind is like. So that very observation we are doing. So similar to that prediction that was made about narcissist, that prediction is true for ourselves as well. As long as you don't come to know yourself, you'll have a long life. But when you come to know yourself, that will be the end of you. Because there is no entity as you. There is no entity as I. Instead, you were mistaken when you thought that there is real essence within you. More you meditate, you come to receive the truth. Again and again, you discover yourself. You observe yourself. More you discover, more you realize this is not me. Instead, some kind of a process is happening. So that very prediction that was made about narcissist, it's true for us as well. As long as we don't come to know ourselves, we'll have a long life. When you meditate, when you come to know yourself, that will be the end of your long life. Because there is no such thing as you, right? So that's the very observation that we are doing. Again and again while walking, try to experiment, try to notice what is happening. Try to be with it. While sitting, try to experiment, try to notice. While doing your day-to-day functions, try to experiment, try to notice. So that way we are continuing our own process. And I found this very nice quote from Rumi. He's a poet and he has deep, meaningful poems about the practice. And he's saying, I searched for God and I found only me. I searched for myself and I found God. So that's his idea, right? So you search for yourself. There's nothing that that there is no essence as yourself. Instead, you find God. And you search for God. And you only find yourself. So that's the very experiment that we are doing. You try to say that there is a separate entity as me and there is God as well. Two separate entities. That's what you do. But when you really search, you come to realize you are nature. You are one. The things that you thought as yourself, they come and go. There's no real essence. Instead, this very potential is you. This very potential is you. This very potential is God. So things appear from this potential and things dissolve into this potential. That is the very process that's happening. The meditator will come to know there's this potential, that's all. Things appear from that potential, things come into being from that potential, and things dissolve or cease into that potential. That's the very process. You can't hold on to things because your own mind, you know that next moment, this too will pass. This too will cease. Again and again, you have to experience this process. It is not by thinking that we come into this realization. Instead, by experiencing. 1001 times, again, we are experiencing ourselves. Things appear and we hold on to them. That's natural. You grab on to them. That's natural. But if you stay long enough, you realize after a while it disappears. When you hold on to something, when it disappears, it hurts. You create suffering because you hold on to that object. Next moment also, you are not learning from your mistake. Again, your mind will go and hold on to it. Again, after a while, when it disappears, you feel pain, you suffer because you hold on to them. This process is happening again and again. Within few times, our mind won't learn. You have to allow this mind to happen. Again, you have to allow it to get hold of things. You have to allow that natural process to happen and just experience the pain. Just experience the suffering. Again and again, this mind create suffering because it is holding on to things. This very experiencing is the meditation. You are attentively experiencing. Again and again you see what's happening. You are not avoiding. In meditation, we are not avoiding things. Let it be thoughts, let it be emotions. Somehow you have to accept them. Somehow you have to go through them. That's the very practice that we are doing. Otherwise, if you keep suppressing, that's not the real meditation. Right? When you experience things, you experience pain. Why? Because your mind will go and hold on to them. When they disappear, if it is a pleasant thing, you experience pain or suffering. Let's say painful thing, if you hold on to it, unpleasant thing, if you hold on to it, then when it disappears, you feel happy. When it appears, you feel painful. This process is happening and we are experiencing it. Again and again, we are experiencing. Now somebody, that person was saying, in meditation, I get a lot of thoughts. How can I get rid of these thoughts? That was the question. But you have to advise them, just be with the thoughts. Just accept them. Just be with them, just experience them. That is the very meditation. Then you might come and say, I am not mindful when the thoughts come. My mindfulness is lost because of the thinking mind. That's an usual complaint that we get. But you have to give them confidence, tell them your mindfulness is not shaken. Just have the confidence in your practice. When you have that confidence in your practice, you will come to realize that thoughts come and go, but your mindfulness is intact. So many thoughts are there, but still you are mindful. Right? So that very experiencing we are doing in meditation. So when it happens, little by little, your mind will learn. It will learn in the hard way. Right? Again and again, creating suffering due to holding. Again and again, it suffers. But if you meditate long enough, with time, you realize that the mind let go of things. It is no longer interested in things. Instead, from this potential, things appear. Again, it disappears. It ceases into that same potential. Again, a new thing might appear. Again, it ceases into that same potential. Even in quantum physics, they say, or they call this the quantum field. The quantum field is a vast potential. There's potential for things to appear. There's potential for things to disappear. So in our meditation, we experience this process. As long as your mind is interested in the things that are appearing, you don't have real peace, because your mind is still interested in these things. Let's say thoughts, let's say emotions. If your mind is interested in them, you don't have the true peace yet. Still your mind is holding on to them. Still, it creates suffering because of this holding. But longer you meditate, you come to realize the thoughts are there, but your mind is no longer interested. Your mind is no longer interested of the options of the world. The world have various options, but your mind is no longer interested. The thoughts might give you various options, but your mind is no longer interested. That is the very peace. If your mind is still interested of the options of the world, still you haven't reached the true peace. So in meditation, you realize probably lustful thoughts are there. Earlier, I was afraid of them. But when I let it flow, things come again and again. It is replayed in one's own mind, viewed from different angles, different viewpoints. But after that process, it will disappear. It will disappear. And your mind loses interest in that very thought. Your mind loses interest in that very image. That is how gradually in meditation, you are allowing your mind to lose interest in this process. Your mind is no longer interested in the options of the world. If that happens, then you are truly peaceful. So that's the very discovery that we are doing. We are discovering oneself. We come to know oneself. We come to see oneself. And if you see oneself, if you discover oneself, then that will be the end of your long existence. Otherwise, narcissist will have a long life until he sees himself, until he discovers himself. So that's the very idea. Try to meditate, try to experience, and when you experience, you can see how this process works. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Bhante, and it was a fantastic talk on narcissism for the second chapter on this topic, and it's also a great talk for the 100th session. Thank you very much, Mr. Bhante. Next, I would like to invite Sonali to connect commence with the Q&A session, and I will share the screen for the messages for any beginners.
Thank you, Namantha. Avasarai Bante. So to begin with, we will discuss how we can start meditation. Nisaranwanaya has helped us with some videos. We can watch them to begin with. Once you watch them, then you can start practicing, which is the most important thing that Bante always talk about. You can start with any amount of time and start building it up from 5 minutes to 10 minutes and work your way up to an hour for each kind of meditation, mindfulness walking and mindfulness sitting. And try and be mindful during the day as well with the repetitive task. And see how your body is moving, or we are interested in how the bodily sensations are, how the present moment is feeling. And once you have experienced it and have tried meditating, write to us. You can write the reports in the Google form provided here, or the email with beginnersnv@gmail.com. These details are now in the chat section if you need any of them. We do check the Google form and email every week, and we then present it to Bante for his feedback. We have one report received today, and we don't have any reports received via the Google form today. It's received via email. I will start with this report. It's mindfulness in the week. Noticing that some of the likes and dislikes seem to be losing their sharp contrast. For example, after lunch at a friend's, she asked what each of us wanted from the selection of desserts. I think there were about 8 things. Many choose portions of variety of things on offer. In my turn, I didn't name any preference, but said a small piece each from any 2 desserts would be fine. I had no idea what would be on my plate, so this was a good experiment. When the plate was passed to me, realized that there were no big liking or disliking for what she chose. Also, the humorous thought came up, all this sugar formed and expressed in the artistic ways will be mixed in the mouth and churned into the stomach, where the original resemblance is lost. At work, there were several changes to the schedule this week due to client illnesses, lateness, or forgetting their sessions. Usually these bring up annoyance and irritation in the mind before coming to terms with it. This time, there was much more calmness instead. Things not going to plan has been part of life, and much less resistance now when this happens. The witness aspect of the mind doesn't seem to be moved. While waiting for a client, managed to bring the attention to the posture. When a session was rescheduled due to a client's illness, used a part of that time freed up to walk up and down the room mindfully. Bante, there used to be a higher expectation in mind, wanting you to facilitate the mindfulness for beginners program, although the times when you weren't available, another monk or nun would step in. Last week, it was the same. At the beginning of the last session, there was a split-second moment of disappointment, which was followed by the awareness of that another teacher is stepping in and offering their time, knowledge, and experience so that the whole group can benefit from it. Dear Bante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to the organizers. That is the end of report, Bante.
Okay, thank you for sharing that report. Now, you mentioned about likes and dislikes. Although they are there, they are losing their contrast, right? So that's a good observation. We can relate that to the talk that we had today or the topic that we had today. As long as your mind is interested in the options of the world, you don't have true peace. right? So you can see likes and dislikes. They represent the options of this world. When you go to a buffet, you can see so many options are there. People go crazy trying to select because so many things are there, so many options are there. Now, each person, although the buffet is the same, each person will have their unique share, right? They on the plate, they have their unique selection. The buffet is the same. It's the same for everybody, but everybody, each person on their plate, they have a unique selection. So that's our likes and dislikes. You don't consume everything. You pick certain things. Even certain things, you need bigger portions. Certain things, you need a smaller portion, right? So that's how we are. The buffet is the same. The world is the same. But still, on our plate, we have a unique portion, right? So we, out of the world, we are not interested in everything, right? You don't have to meditate on everything. Instead, it's our own likes and dislikes. Certain things, we hold on to them. Certain things, we don't care. So the thing that you don't already care, you are already peaceful. Right? Only you have to meditate on the things that you have likes and dislikes, or things that you hold on to in this world. Right? Let's say when you meditate, thousands and thousands of sounds come and go, but they don't trigger us. Once in a while, something gets triggered because you have an interest in that sound. Or that sound is familiar to you. That's one of the family members, right? So other things are like white noise. Our attention, it doesn't get triggered by these things, right? So those things you are already peaceful. What you have to meditate on is the things that you have likes and dislikes, right? So you can see when meditate, it won't disappear. Instead, it is losing contrast. So that's a good observation. Earlier, you had a higher contrast, or you know, likes and dislikes. Whenever you go somewhere, you have to have these things. If an appointment is made, it should function this way. If a session is done, we have to have this type of a session. So our expectations are high, but the meditator will come to realize that in between these things, you can pay attention to your own body. If an appointment got cancelled, you can take a break and meditate, right? So this is a much efficient way to function. Still, you are doing the same thing. Still, you are doing your work. Still, you are functioning. But it's a much efficient way to function, right? This struggle is no more. Whoever comes with an open heart practice, those are valid observations in our practice. Still the same liking and disliking is there, but it is losing contrast. That's what matters. Right? And when it loses contrast, you can see that the friction is also reducing. Your efficiency is increasing. That's the very idea of this practice. You have to function, but you are functioning with much higher efficiency. You have to function, you are functioning with much less friction. So that's why we do the meditation, right? We don't have much bigger goals, no need to have much bigger goals. Instead, this very goal is enough. Functioning with less friction, functioning with higher efficiency. That's the very idea. And when you do it, you realize you do your thing, but your mind is at peace. You work still. Your mind is at peace. you go out with other people, you go to dinner, you go to parties, still your mind is at peace. This is the very idea of the practice. You don't need anything else. This is the very results, right? We don't have high expectations. Some people, they think about Nibbana, right? Enlightenment, right? And always, whenever they practice, they think, in this very sitting, I need to go to Nibbana. In this very walking session, I'll achieve this. That too is greed, you know. That too is liking and disliking, right? So you can see how the mind is deceiving us. Instead, if you just continue with your practice, these likings and dislikings, they lose contrast. There's no higher goal, no further goal. Instead, you just continue with your things. Try to do these things with less friction, with higher efficiency. Just appreciate the journey. That's the very idea. It's not about the destination. It's the journey. If you appreciate the journey, you are already enlightened. Right? That's how it is. Imagine an enlightened person is waiting for an appointment. Right? Would he be stressed because the appointment got cancelled? Would he be stressed because the appointment was delayed? No, he would be still at peace. Although the appointment get cancelled, still his mind is not shaken. Although the appointment is delayed, still his mind is not shaken. Right? So that's the very idea of the practice. Appreciating the journey, not the destination. When you appreciate the journey, you are already enlightened. There's no further goal, nothing else, right? So gradually we are approaching. That's my idea. That's what I want to emphasize. Gradually we are approaching that. Gradually we are achieving that. You see the likes and dislikes, the contrast is reducing. The friction is reducing. The efficiency is increasing. This is the very thing that we need. Right, so thank you for sharing a lot of valuable informations, observations you have. Right, if you continue further, you will realize these likes and dislikes, they reduce even further. More they are reduced, more peace there'll be. You'll be functioning at a much higher efficiency with less friction. Whatever happens in the world, your mind will be at peace. So that's the idea. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Bhante. That is very important for all of us. We don't have any more reports received today, so it's a good time to open the floor to ask questions. Well, I can already see one hand raised. Would you like to, I'm not sure what your name is. You're on a Sati123. Would you like to unmute and ask your questions? And let us know if you have trouble unmuting.
Hello, Bhante Avasarai. Bhante, like the person's report, my likes and dislikes are also disappearing a little. Some likes, dislikes are still there. Sometimes I feel when I can catch the thought early, I can stop not thinking along the lines. But sometimes strong thoughts, especially about certain family members or my boss, when they come, I can replace them with thinking about the wholesome qualities of those people. But sometimes the thought is so powerful, and it turns into an emotion, and I know it's turning into an emotion, but I know I failed. But then I know I can't have aversion towards that failing either. So this is kind of my experiences of doing contemplation on the thoughts. I just thought I should share, and any feedback you can give is really valuable, one thing.
Okay, so you can see different levels of the practice. Okay, some things as soon as you notice, they disappear. Some things they have a stronger presence and they'll continue for a while. Some things you still can't have any control over them, right? Because they are so strong, right? So that's how it is, right? More you continue your practice, more skillful you'll become, right? So maybe the things that you can manage now, earlier, before meditation, you couldn't even handle them. Now only you surrender, or only you become a victim to the stronger ones, strong feelings, right? So you don't have to worry about that. Let that process happen again and again. No need to have aversion towards it, right? That emotion was stronger. So what is the issue? It's an opportunity for us to learn. Again, tomorrow, it's another fresh day. Tomorrow also, you can continue and see, okay, tomorrow also you fail due to that strong emotions. Still, it's an opportunity. So this way, we are practicing again and again and again. We are practicing again and again. A fresh opportunity is given to us. In the name of the practice, for the sake of the practice, we are thankful for that opportunity, that very opportunity for us to practice. Not because we win or we fail. It doesn't matter. We are thankful. We are grateful for that opportunity. Because tomorrow it will be a fresh day. Right? So that's the idea of that saying. It says night doesn't end with a single dream. Right? That's the very idea. So when you think about it, it's scientifically also correct. Because every night you see thousands and thousands of dreams, but you can't remember, you can't recall. Only one or two that was so strong, you might remember, right? So scientifically also correct. But here we are taking the philosophical meaning. Night doesn't end with a single dream, right? Again and again, you get 1,001 chances. You fail this moment, next moment, another fresh opportunity. You fail today, tomorrow, another fresh opportunity. Right? So that is the very idea. And that is the very idea of monkhood. Or a yogi. Right? A practitioner. Right? You fail. You fail. But you identify your mistakes. You go and tell somebody, okay, this happened, I failed. I was miserable, I failed, right? Then the other person says, okay, another opportunity for you tomorrow, continue your practice. That's the very idea. Otherwise, people think, when you become a monk, you are like an arahant. No, we are still human. When you are a yogi, you can't make mistakes. So many people, they come and say, the family, they say, now you are a meditator, you are making these mistakes. They are judging because this person is a meditator. Meditators shouldn't have any faults. Meditators shouldn't have any flaws. Right? So that's their idea. That's the worldly idea. But when it comes to true practice, we are still human. Right? We make mistakes. But we get a fresh opportunity. That's the very idea. The world will label. They will say, okay, you are a bad person. You have done this. Okay, you are like this. That labeling, it's for the world. Now on YouTube, there are certain videos. It's about Karens, right? Crazy Karens, right? Airport Karens, waiting line Karens. They say they have a special pronoun for that type of a behavior, right? So that one video, probably like millions of views, and that person blacklisted for life. Because this is how they acted. This is the internet tendencies. Right? In a way, thousands and thousands of people, they are torturing this person because they broke down. During some incident, they broke down. The flight got delayed. They broke down, right? The burger, McDonald's burger, wasn't according to their expectations. They broke down. So due to this single incident, they were able, right? Airport currents, waiting line currents, that's how they say. But when you think about it, we are human. Maybe that person was having the worst day, right? All he wanted was a good tasting burger. Couldn't have it to break down, right? Maybe that person was going through a breakup or a divorce and wanted to go home as fast as possible, but the flight got delayed. That incident was the trigger to break down, right? So you can see this incident. Although we make mistakes, we should have a fresh opportunity. That's not how the world works. They think if you do this, you are a Karan. Millions and millions of people, they torture this person because of this behavior. But it was a one incident. Maybe that person was having the worst day. Maybe that person was going through a divorce or a breakup. So the trigger was a burger. The trigger was the flight got delayed, right? So this, you see how this world is judging. You see how this world is labeling us. But as practitioners, we know that we too are human. We make mistakes, right? If we see our own mistakes, we won't go judging other people. If you know our own flaws, we won't go judging other people. Then we know we make mistakes, but next moment, another fresh opportunity. Tomorrow, it's a fresh day. Right, so that's the very idea of the practice. We are not judging, especially not judging oneself. Forget about the other people, right? Not judging oneself. I know that I make mistakes, but tomorrow it's another fresh opportunity. That is the very idea of the practice. That is the very idea of monkhood. That is the very idea of a yogi, right? They know that this is human. This is human behavior. We are allowed to break down once in a while. We are allowed to have a panic attack once in a while, right? Because we are human. For the sake of the humanity, we are allowed. So the practitioner, they don't judge. I make mistakes, that's fine. This emotion was too strong. Tomorrow, it's another opportunity, right? Tomorrow also failed. That's fine. Day after tomorrow, another opportunity. This way you have to continue, right? This is the very way. And when you continue, one day you realize the emotion came, but it didn't overtake me. It didn't have that usual power because the practice got stronger, right? So that's the very idea. Continue. Be compassionate towards oneself. You don't have to torture oneself. You have to have compassion towards oneself. That very compassion is necessary for a practitioner. Because these are human qualities. We are human. For the sake of the humanity, we know that we make mistakes. We are allowed to make mistakes. Right? Again and again we make mistakes, but we don't judge. That is the very idea. That is the very idea. Because we are human. The world will say, no, you can't behave this way. If you do this, it will go into your history. You will be this person forever. You will be labeled. You will be tortured on the internet. That's the world. For the practitioner, they know that this is human. This is human. We are allowed to break down. We are allowed to have panic attacks. We are allowed to make mistakes. And for the sake of the humanity, we'll move forward And tomorrow it'll be a fresh day. Next moment it'll be a fresh opportunity. So this way you have to continue.
Thank you, Bhante. Very relevant. Shall I move on to Nadeep? Would you like to unmute and ask your question?
Thanks, Sonali. Outside Bhante. Bhante, during the talk, you mentioned that a foreigner currently practicing at Nisarnavanina, and he observed thoughts and also the physical movement, and also the when he was doing his mindful walk, feel the touch of the heel, and also at the same time, the parallelly he can see the thoughts as well. During today practice, I also observe this happening few times to me as well. I can see that, you know, thought and also the bodily, I wouldn't say pain, the sensation, like if I sit, feel my back and also the some tightness around. At the same time, the thoughts also, they might be satisfactory, unsatisfactory, pleasurable. All those thoughts are also there. And sometimes I feel that even though it's out of my control, suppose if I have a unsatisfactory thought, as the previous person mentioned, some disagreement with the boss or someone, because I had this similar experience a few months ago with my boss, who was very critical about my work. That feeling, you know, sometimes back into my mind, even though I forgave him. That when I feel, you know, during the mindfulness, sitting mindfulness, if something feels unsatisfactory, I can see that thought jumping back into the kind of mixing with that unsatisfactory feeling. But if I say, even though I say I couldn't control it, I still can see the thought jumping back into the thought about my boss, and then something, you know, something else. Even today, when you mention when we go to a buffet, our plate is different. Instantly, my thought went back to a buffet I went to when I was in Sri Lanka. Then the thought again jumped back to unsatisfactory feeling about my boss, because the other person talking about her boss. So. Just wondering, we say that we don't have a control, but I still feel that the thought, you know, jumping back and forth in a different avenues, still we have some sort of control. So I would like your observation on that, Bhante. Thank you very much. Much merits.
In a way, these are, we can identify them as triggers, right, or wounds. Right, certain incidents happen and still we are not healed. We are not healed. Still we remember how critical the boss was. Right, still we remember departing from a certain person's departure from our life. Right, so these things, they are more like wounds. And you can feel that you are not healed yet, right? Again and again, you feel the same pain when you recall that incident. Again and again, you feel the same pain when you remember that person, right? So that's how it is. So in a way, it's part of our practice. This is a very valuable part of our practice, right? Because these are the wounds. These are the wounds. This is where we have to focus now, right? It's natural that we want to suppress them. We don't like to deal with them. Instead, we would prefer our mind not going there. But that's not how it works. That's not how it works. What you can do is this: allow this process to continue. Accept this process. Still, there is a wound. It is not healed. That very acceptance is important. This very wound is the focus of your practice. Nothing else. Nothing else. When you sit in meditation, these things might come.
right? Now, few days ago, somebody was saying that he sat for meditation and for like 15, 20 minutes, totally thoughts about recent incidents, about the day-to-day things that happened. So many thoughts for very first 15 minutes. So that was more like a complaint about these thoughts. How can I suppress these thoughts? He was asking, right? But the very idea of meditation is allow those thoughts to say their story. Listen to them, not like we are encouraging them, right? Instead, you just allow that process to continue, right? Only after those 15 minutes, the mind will settle down. If you suppress them, it will stay longer, it will last longer. Because now you are not allowing this natural healing process. This is more like a healing process. Even day-to-day things, when you sit in meditation, suddenly you realize certain incidents come into your mind. Even while them happening, you didn't even know that was a trigger. You didn't even know that incident hurt you. Right? But when you sit in meditation, those incidents come. Then you realize this is something, there was some kind of a struggle in this incident. That's why it is coming back. But you have to allow that process. It is a healing process that's happening, right? When you allow that process, after 15, 20 minutes, it settles down. Then your mind becomes so peaceful, right? If you don't allow that healing process, then you are suppressing. Then you are suppressing, it might take longer for your mind to settle down. So this is a healing process. Some things could be bigger wounds. Some things could be little, tiny, tiny things. But still, they take their own space. Right? As the practitioners, we allow them to occupy space. That's the very idea. That's the very idea of the practice. You sit. You allow these things to occupy space as they wish you allow, right? Some incidents will come and take a huge space, occupy a huge space. Some incident will come and take a small space, right? The willingness to allow them to occupy space, that's what matters. That's what you have to do as meditation, right? So this is a healing process. Rumi says, the light enters through your wound. That's what he says, right? Only through your wound, the light enters. Only when you get triggered, that's where you have to practice, right? Maybe at work, that's where your meditation is. Maybe at home, dealing with family members, that's where your meditation is. So as the meditator, I would say, you have to be willing. You have the willingness, you allow these things to occupy space. That's what matters. That's your exercise. That's what you have to exercise, right? Not something else, you know, bringing back your mind, going back to other thing or blah, blah, blah. That's not the idea. Instead, you allow these things to occupy space, right? That is the very practice. So that way continue. When you practice like that, you realize maybe after months, the wound disappears. Maybe after months, we don't know, right? Still, we are not healed because that person, although you forgive him, although you want to forgive, that's not how it works. Instead, our mind shouldn't be interested in that incident. That's where the true forgiveness is granted. Otherwise, as long as our mind struggles, there's no true forgiveness, right? If our mind is not interested in that incident, then it is truly forgiven. That doesn't mean you forget. You remember, but your mind is no longer interested. That's the idea. That's why the mind is no longer interested in the options of the world. If it is still interested, still not the real peace.
Thank you, Bhante. Much very.
Thank you, Bhante. Thank you for all the questions. Everyone who asked questions, it's very relevant for all of us. I will have to end the session now. I'm sorry for the person who had the hand up but couldn't ask the question. We will allow you hopefully next week. Namantha, would you like to take over to end the session?
Yes, Sonali. Thank you very much for conducting the Q&A, and also much thanks to Bhante for insightful advice throughout the talk and also now through the Q&A. And today is the 100th session on our program, and we would like to humbly declare this. And I would like to invite Rajika to say a few words at it in this milestone session of today. Over to Rajika. Thank you.
Avasarai Bhante, Teruvan Saranai. I thought of saying a few words today because we're celebrating 100 session, although it's just another number. Will you allow me to say some words?
Sure. Seems like you came prepared, so we have to allow you to.
Avasarai Bhante, thank you very much for the opportunity. Thank you very much, everyone. Today we completed the 100th session of this program, Mindfulness for Beginners. I would like to pass all the accumulated merits to Chief Bhante, Venerable Udayagama Dhammajiva Thero, for his advice and guidance for start this session, this program. And I would like to share all the merits with Venerable Homagama Dhammakusala Thero for all your guidance and assistance throughout this journey. You have listened to our feedback and ideas and allowed us to shape the programs the way we want. And you are contributing to the program since the beginning. So thank you very much for all your support. I would like to pass merits to Venerable Dhammagutta Thero and Venerable Rohini Manio, as they assisted us where the Venerable Dhammagutta Thero is not available. May all the Venerables be able to find the true happiness as soon as possible. Collecting all the merits from this 2 years journey. And I would like to thank Halahakon uncle and Lushani for introducing us the UK team. And special thanks goes to Namantha for conducting and contributing to the session since beginning on behalf of me. Thank you very much for you. And I should thank the UK team. Sonali, you're always there whenever we need someone, whenever it's an urgent thing happens. Thank you very much for that. And Arosh and Hiranga, thank you very much for contributing with the flyer. Lushani, Anu, Samanthi, Gihante, Udara and Kamal, thank you very much for all your support and assistance. Again, thank you for our OC team, Nadeep and Bandul uncle. Thank you very much for your all support. Last but not least, thank you very much all the participants who joined via Zoom as well as Facebook Live for your attendance and contribution. There is no point for us to continue this program if you are not there. I would like to share all the merits with all the with our organizing committee as well as all the participants, and I wish you all will find the true happiness as soon as possible. I wish we will receive the same support for this program in the future as well from you all. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Pante, for the opportunity as well.
Thank you very much, Rajika, and much better to you. And we must also mention that Rajika is the person who structured the program from the layman side, helping us all gather and create the program with advice from Manuel Bhante at the very beginning of the program. And then she's kept a very aware look on the program, maintaining it to a very high quality, aiding us and guiding us when needed. Thank you so much, and much better to you as well, Rajika. We must mention that too. Okay, so we would wrap up today's program, and we would continue the program next Saturday at the same time. And we would like to hope that you will be able to practice these valued insights, perhaps not not gainable from any other place in the world or the English language or English medium. So please practice, and we will see you next week, and I hope you will have a mindful and happy week ahead. I will end the Zoom session for the 100th session today. Thank you.